Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Search for bodies continues in Texas. We have the story.
A man accused in a Wichita homicide appears in court. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Rodney Price. Sedgwick County's 2026 recommended budget was presented Wednesday. Some highlights are ahead.
Measles outbreak ends for five Kansas counties. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Search teams continue to work in South Central Texas, where at least 120 people are dead and more than 160 are missing because of flash flooding, as residents hold a vigil for the victims. Fox's Mike Tobin has more from Kerrville, Texas.
The community around Kerr County here came together. They packed the local football stadium at the local high school with a prayer vigil. They called it the Kerr County Blessing. The volunteers and staff working to bring victims home total more than 2,000 in this area, just in this county alone. They include searchers with Texar, Texas Search and Rescue, the Cajun Navy as well. Governor Greg Abbott has added four flood-related items to the upcoming special session of the Texas legislature. They include flood relief funding, communications, emergency communications equipment, and, of course, an early warning system.
Local leaders had reportedly proposed a flood warning system before, but it was never built because of the high costs.
Sedgwick County Commissioners getting a look at their proposed budget for the coming year.
Orion Showalter Airy, Sedgwick County Budget Director, outlined next year's budget.
The maximum proposed budget is $593,553,400 to be funded with a tax levy of $210,524,468 based on a mill levy rate of 27.881 mills, a decrease of 0.82 mills from our final 2025 rate.
The budget would add 20 additional positions for 911 while also decreasing crime prevention funds and cultural arts by $560,000. It would also cut funding to KTPS by $80,000. Public hearings will be held on July 30th at 6 p.m. and finally on August 20th when the budget is adopted. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
New data from the Kansas Department of Health and Environment suggests that measles outbreak has ended in five Kansas counties.
Officials say the areas have gone for more than 42 days without a new case. However, the outbreak continues in at least four counties with active outbreaks, and the virus continues to spread into other parts of the state. Since Monday, four new cases have been reported, bringing the statewide total to 87 cases so far in 25. Most of the cases have been concentrated in southwest Kansas, affecting young children the hardest, especially those under the age of five who have the highest infection rate. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
A man has been charged in Sedgwick County District Court with murder in the beating death of another man, July 4th in northeast Wichita. 33-year-old Eduardo Diaz-Yobal appeared in court yesterday, charged with one count of first-degree murder. The alleged assault taking place in the 3,000 block of North Fairview. Caller told police they saw a man attacking another man, later identified as 43-year-old Cesar Gonzalez, who died. Yobal was later identified and taken into custody. Bond set at $1 million.
An industrial tunnel in the Wilmington neighborhood in Los Angeles collapsed last night with workers still inside.
All 31 people that were trapped underground have since been pulled out and have been rescued. More than 100 LA firefighters were here, including the urban search and rescue team. Now, this is part of the Clearwater Tunnel Project. It's a project where they're basically digging a sewage tunnel from here in Wilmington all the way to the ocean, replacing the previous tunnel. And somewhere between where they went underground and out in that giant tunnel, about 5 miles away, is where that collapse took place in Wilmington. Matthew Seedorf, Fox News.
KNSS News time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We will be talking more about one of the great birthdays of a Kansas City Royals star back in the day. We'll talk some more about that coming up in sports.
A shocking fall from grace for an American gold medal Olympic athlete. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News time now, 8:07. 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. Dr. Steve Noble has been selected as the district's new Chief Operations Officer for Wichita Public Schools. Dr. Noble will work with Superintendent Kelly Bielefeld to provide strategic leadership and executive oversight of district operations. Dr. Noble previously served as superintendent in Seaman and Durham-Hillsboro-Lehigh school districts, assistant superintendent in Haven school district, and most recently director of business development at Mammoth Sports Construction, LLC.
At least one child was killed, four others injured, after a tree branch fell on them at a summer camp northwest of Los Angeles. Fox's Ed Laskus reporting from Calabasas.
The huge oak tree and one of its huge branches breaking off, crashing down into the area by a picnic table where we're told the five victims underneath that area. This branch, huge branch, comes crashing down. One small child dies, but then a dramatic attempt and rescue operation as they airlift another young child to the UCLA Ronald Reagan Medical Center from the Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority. Quote, "We are devastated by the tragic loss of a young child at the summer camp at King Gillette Ranch in the Santa Monica Mountains. Words cannot express the depth of our sorrow."
Former White House physician Dr. Kevin O'Connor refused to answer questions from the House Oversight Committee as it investigates former President Biden's use of the auto pen. Fox's Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill has the story.
Appearing after the House Oversight Committee issued a subpoena, Dr. Kevin O'Connor deployed the Fifth Amendment as a shield, refusing to answer if he was asked to lie about the former president's health or if Biden was fit for office. Jasmine Crockett of Texas was the only Democrat in the room for the deposition.
You have the right to confidentiality when it comes to your health care.
O'Connor's attorneys say using the fifth quote does not imply that Dr. O'Connor has committed any crime. His counsel also says that doctor-patient confidentiality require that Dr. O'Connor refuse to testify.
Republicans allege a group of aides took advantage of and covered up former President Biden's mental decline.
A fall from grace for an American gold medal Olympic athlete.
Police in West Virginia have released body cam footage of the May arrest of former USA Gymnastics icon Mary Lou Retton. Retton, appearing disheveled and on oxygen, was in a state of disbelief after failing a series of field sobriety tests following a traffic stop.
No!
Yeah, you're under arrest.
Yeah, you're under arrest.
This is not...
No, I'm not!
And the meltdown continued after cops slapped the cuffs on her.
Oh, my God!
Right?
Gia!
It's...
They think I'm drunk.
Retton's attorney later issued a statement in which Retton admitted to driving under the influence and apologized. She pleaded no contest. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
The traffic volumes are getting a little bit thinner out there, so things are starting to look just a little bit better. But watch out on those road construction areas. Still have some areas of heavy traffic right now. A little bit of a backup on that ramp northbound I-235 over to eastbound K-96. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Becoming mostly sunny, breezy, and hot today. South winds 15 to 25 and gusty. High 96. Heat index, though, up to 102. Could see a stray shower or storm tonight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy. Overnight low 75. 93 on Friday with breezy conditions and likely storms during the afternoon or evening. Some of those could be severe. Mostly cloudy and much cooler on Saturday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
And right now we got a few clouds, 76 degrees, a south wind at 7 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. Today is the 10th day of July. It was pretty muggy yesterday. 93 degrees for a high in Wichita. Normal high is 92. And Ross Jansen from Storm Team 12 was saying a while ago that, yeah, they had it felt like 100 out there. The heat index was up around 100, so. I was out in the afternoon, took a little walk, and did very well. There was a little bit of a breeze that helped it. The rainfall, by the way, we've had this drought going on for so long. The rainfall this year now, we're about 5 inches above normal for this time of year. After cruising along below normal for month after month after month, still haven't got enough water in the Cheney Reservoir to take the restrictions off. And it could be, what were they saying yesterday? Could be another year or?
Could be another year. Yeah.
Wow.
Several months.
Wow. All right. Stephen's head of the morning here on KNSS. Did you get outside yesterday? Did you go in and just stay in the cool?
I did not do much outside yesterday.
Well, that's good. That's a good
idea. A little walk in the afternoon, but that was about it.
All right. 8:12, Stephen's head of the morning here on KNSS. And it was on this date in 1964, that's 61 years ago, the Beatles released their album, A Hard Day's Night. It included their hits, And I Love Her and Can't Buy Me Love.
That's a dang good album. There's a lot of great songs on there that 61 years later are still fantastic.
I was driving along yesterday. My wife has put together for me an iPod, a little iPod that plays our music that we like. And I was listening to a Beatles song over there yesterday. No Reply.
Oh, great song.
It's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, fantastic.
Somebody said to one of my friends, I know who it was, a fellow named Roger Mundy I used to work with, who was on the air. His name was Roger Mundy, was his air name. And he was a huge fan, not only a fan, but a student of the Beatles. And he would talk about why they were so good and so forth. Well, their lyrics were simple.
And the melodies were
just melodies were
exquisite.
Terrific.
Oh, yeah.
And you could do that song in about 2 minutes. And so you got a lot of airplay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
Genius there. All right. Stephen, 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And, Ted, we've got a special guest with us this morning. Janelle Dobbins with Evergy is with us. Good morning, Janelle.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning on this hot and humid summer morning?
Yeah, well, you know, yesterday afternoon I walked into my home and I thought, boy, God bless Evergy. You know, the air conditioner was working on a very hot day. And, you know, I've got to tell you, in the recent, we had a storm here, we had a couple of storms, one the other day, where one of our phone wire lines in our backyard came down. And the Evergy guys were out. Of course, this morning we were very busy, but they came out and they got it done for us and fixed us all up. So we're thank you for those people who do that kind of work. But Evergy also has some energy programs now. A couple of them you want to talk about this morning. Tell us about these programs, please.
Yeah, we have some new energy efficiency, which, you know, this time of year is particularly important. As you said, all of our air conditioners are working overtime as it's nice and hot. So a couple of the rebates available is the first one is actually a heating and cooling discount. So if you're thinking, it's probably time I'm looking to upgrade that HVAC system, because the more modern ones are much more high efficient and we have rebates available up to $1,000. So how that works is you look on our website at evergy.com/save. You find that authorized contractor. They come out and check it. And depending on the SEER level of your system, which is just a measure of how efficient your air conditioning system is, of what you're going to be upgrading to, that will depend on what that rebate amount is up to that $1,000 amount.
All right. And you also have this is a good idea, smart thermostats. I like that.
Yeah. So when we talk about smart thermostats, we're talking about a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat. So that might be a Google Nest or an Ecobee, Honeywell or Sensi. And we have two different parts of that program. One, if you already have one on your wall and you're like, yep, I'm already energy efficient, you can get up to $100 enrollment bonus for us for just signing that up as part of our thermostat program. But if you don't have one, you can actually go online to our marketplace and order one. It'll be shipped directly to your house. You do a self-install, which is not hard. There's lots of YouTube videos on it. As I say, if I can install it, anyone can install it. And then the great thing is you can control that from your phone. And I find it super handy. Like, I'm out either having dinner with friends or out grocery shopping, and I realize I'm going to be out later than I thought I was. And I'm like, well, I don't need to pre-cool the house this early. And so I change the thermostat from wherever I am. Or if you're getting off a flight from travel or you're driving back from that summer vacation, you're like, oh, I want that house cool. When I get there, you can just change it from wherever you are. And then the house then fits your schedule instead of you trying to fit that older programmed schedule.
Okay, so to find out about these programs, of course, you have a website we can go to, right?
Yep, and if you specifically go to www.evergy.com/save, S-A-V-E, that will take you right in to see that heating and cooling, the smart thermostat. We have an insulation air sealing one that kind of works that same way as heating and cooling. And we even have a quick 5-minute home energy analysis that you just go in, answer a couple of questions, and then it'll give you great tips of just easy ways of how to save energy, such as, you know, do you have one of those ceiling fans? If so, make sure you actually have it running counterclockwise here in the summer so the fan is lifting that warm air up out of the room. And then in the winter, you just flip it back to clockwise.
Okay. Evergy and electricity and our heating and cooling, something we take for granted, most of us, or a lot of us do. What about the rate increase you've requested with KCC? You think that's going to go through?
That will be, as everyone knows, we are a regulated one, so sure. The KCC's reading through it, checking into it. Customers are able to put their thoughts about it online to the KCC if we want, and we will see what the KCC's decision is.
Yeah, they do that. That's what they do. Hey, listen, thanks for being with us this morning. We won't take you for granted anymore. When I go to my air, I'll know who's in charge. And it's Janelle who's in charge, right? Okay.
Yeah. Some days.
Janelle Dobbins from Evergy. Thanks for being with us, Janelle. We appreciate it. It's 8:18, Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And it's sports time again with Ted Woodward, sir.
All right. We go up to Kansas City last night, Kauffman Stadium. The Kansas City Royals in action against the last place Pittsburgh Pirates. Royals looking for a 3-game sweep. Well, there was a hero last night, and it's the Royals' first baseman, Salvador Perez, who had quite a night at the plate. He hit a home run early in the game, and then he came up later on in a tie game in the bottom of the eighth inning. You heard it last night on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
First pitch is hammered to deep center field. Back goes Cruz, away back, and gone, Perez. Salvador Perez, second home run of the game, his third hit. He now has 13 home runs. And that was really odd because I just said Isaac Mattson was in the game last night, but not very long because he came on with the Royals in the bottom of the ninth, had two on, one out. And it was Mattson who served up the pitch that Lofton singled into left center to end the game. His first pitch tonight, Perez launches over the center field fence. So he has given up the lead to the Royals in his last two pitches. How odd is that?
And the Royals go on to win that game. 4-3 was the final score. The two home runs from Salvador Perez. Hey, the 3-game sweep for the Royals. They've won 6 of 7. And an off day today as the homestand will continue. Minor League Baseball, the first-place Wichita Wind Surge, not able to get a win last night, falling 6-4 to the San Antonio Missions downtown at Equity Bank Park. Same two teams tonight, game 6 of a 9-game homestand for the first-place Surge. It's KU night. First 2,000 fans get a KU Wind Surge hat. First-place Wichita hosting the Missions, 7:05 tonight downtown at Equity Bank Park. From the world of basketball, former Washburn basketball star Ryan Murphy passed away yesterday at the age of 45. Big star in high school in Towanda at Circle High School. And he became a college legend for the Ichabods in Washburn. Played for the Ichabods in the late 90s into the early 2000s. He is in the Washburn Athletics Hall of Fame. Third all-time for the Ichabods in points. Fourth all-time for the Ichabods in rebounds with a big 6'6 forward. From Benton, Kansas. And he was on 3 NCAA tournament teams in his time at Washburn, including the national runner-up team in 2001. The Washburn legend and the Circle Thunderbird legend from basketball, Ryan Murphy. He passed away yesterday at the age of 45. And we've been talking this morning about the birthday of former Kansas City Royals outfielder Hal McCray, who is 80 years old today. I've been telling Hal McCray stories. We told him, we talked earlier in the show about his leg fracture when he was with the Reds in the late 60s. And kind of after he recovered from that, he became known as the most aggressive base runner of the 1970s.
Yeah.
A man who left home plate thinking double every time he hit the ball. And he taught younger players and reminded the veterans, take nothing for granted, take no prisoners on the bases. In Game 4 of the 1980 World Series, Hal McCray twice turned a seemingly routine single to center field into a double. He played hard. So hard that the rule requiring a runner to slide into second base when breaking up a double play is still called the Hal McCray rule, in honor of the man whose crossbody blocks into second base broke up a lot of double plays and busted up a few second basemen at the same time.
Yeah.
And of course, now, because of that, and now the rule is you can't even basically touch the fielder at all. You can't go into second base trying to break up a double play.
I know.
It's completely a non-contact thing.
Don't want anybody to get hurt.
Al McCray did it back in the day.
Listen, you're talking about, and I remember watching, it was there at Kansas City, he hit a grounder up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The second baseman almost got to it, and finally it made its way over in the gap somehow. He got a triple. And it was just
on a ball hit up the middle.
It hit up the middle.
Yeah.
Just aggressive
baseball.
Oh, I know.
Then look at his career numbers. Career 290 batting average, 191 home runs, nearly 1,100 runs driven in, and nearly 500 doubles.
It's great numbers.
The great Hal McCray, longtime Kansas City Royals legend. It's his birthday. He is 80 years old today, Hal McCray. And that's sports with Steve and Ted, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, with locations east, west, and historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck there. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here.
I don't know if you mentioned, didn't Hal manage the team at one time?
Yes, I did not mention that. He also was a manager of the Kansas City Royals after his playing career.
And then he had his son who was a great player.
Brian McCray played many years in the big leagues, including a long stint with the Royals as well.
Hal McCray. All right, thank you, Ted. It's coming up, we've got the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean says Israel needs a new policy for response to attack. That's on the way. Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. 76 degrees here at KNSS. A man has been charged following the death of his 2-year-old stepson.
32-year-old Sean Lewis was in court Wednesday and was charged with first-degree murder along with one count of child abuse. 2-year-old John Landon Delano died on July 3rd after being hospitalized with severe injuries from what Lewis claimed to have been a fall. However, investigators said the explanation did not match the extent or nature of the boy's injuries. Lewis was arrested last week after the child was admitted to the hospital. He's being held on a $2 million bond. His next court appearance is scheduled for July 21st. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe signed a bill yesterday enacting changes to elementary and secondary education, including a mandate for students' use of personal electronic devices. That bill requires all school districts and charter schools to implement a written policy banning students from using or displaying cell phones and other electronic devices throughout the school day. The bill says this includes during class, meals, breaks, and a study hall.
Since the 4th of July weekend, several states have faced dangerous and deadly flooding.
In North Carolina, Tropical Storm Chantel brought on heavy rain. It caused communities like Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to see flooding around 5 feet in some spots. Many businesses and homes flooded. Some roads washed out across the region, and several deaths were blamed on the storm's impacts. Right now, recovery is the focus, but weather isn't done with the Mid-Atlantic. The National Weather Service issued a level 3 out of 4 flood risk for the Piedmont and Sand Hills region of North Carolina, as heavy rain could cause flooding once again this Wednesday and Thursday. So think of those creeks and low-lying areas that are prone to flooding. For the latest information, download the Fox Weather app. In Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I'm Brandi Campbell for Fox Weather.
A teenager arrested following a wildfire in coastal Southern California.
The so-called Rancho Fire in Laguna Beach reached as large as 4 acres this week, luckily with no damage to structures. Police officers were able to obtain video evidence of what they describe as a juvenile suspect lighting a firework and then fleeing the scene. That 13-year-old boy was arrested on suspicion of setting off fireworks, which sparked the wildfire. The teen was released to his parents, but high heat and low humidity have added to the wildfire threat in parts of California, where already a number of wildfires are burning. John Saucier, Fox News.
A United States Coast Guard rescue swimmer from New Jersey is being called a hero after rescuing nearly 200 people following flash floods in central Texas over the July 4th weekend.
Coast Guard rescue swimmer and petty officer Scott Ruskin directly saved 165 individuals during that devastating flooding in central Texas. He told Fox News They were in the air when they spotted a crowd of about 200 kids at a campsite.
We made the decision to leave me there. We figured we'd be able to hoist more people out on our helicopter with me not on it. And then I'd be able to help out the scene at Camp Mystic a little bit better.
Ruskin credits the counselors and campers with doing well while facing such dangerous conditions.
Even as a professional rescuer, I was nervous about getting in the water. I can't imagine how 8, 9, 10-year-olds, like, these kids are heroic. Like, they need to get the credit they're getting that they need. They like, some of the camp counselors were saving lives before we even got there. So, I mean, without those guys, it would be a lot worse situation. It's still very tragic. But I think there definitely needs to be a lot of heroism praise to the survivors. They were saving themselves.
At least 27 campers and counselors at Camp Mystic lost their lives in the flooding. Meanwhile, search and rescue operations are ongoing with a full response from local, state, and national first responders. This Salute to Service is brought to you by the Odyssey Radio Group, proud to serve veterans and the Wichita community. We invite you to read more stories about veterans and active military on our webpage at knssradio.com. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Steve at 10 in the morning, KNSS 850 here on a Thursday morning. Three big things.
Three.
New health department data shows a measles outbreak has ended in 5 Kansas counties.
Two.
Sedgwick County commissioners get a look at a proposed budget for next year. The plan includes a lower tax mill levy.
One.
Search and recovery continues after Texas flood. At least 120 dead, more than 160 missing. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
In traffic right now, we actually have a traffic accident. You'll want to avoid this area if you can. It is Douglas, just west of Rock Road, north of Town East Square there. We've got a traffic accident there. An injury traffic accident, so avoid the area. Douglas, just north of Town East Square. Douglas, just a little ways west of Rock Road. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. The Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 94 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, the overnight low 74. Friday, partly sunny with a 20% chance for rain. Tomorrow's high, 92 degrees. Now a few clouds. And 76 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Weather brought to you by the Monarch, where today is $5 Large Beers Day. 23-ounce mugs of local beers available for $5 at the Monarch, 579 West Douglas at the roundabout in historic Delano. Trading underway on Wall Street, it's been down so far this morning in the red. However, Dow has just turned around. Dow is up now by almost 23 points. The S&P's down 3, and the NASDAQ is down 33. Looks like a business is closing here in Wichita. Here's the Wichita Business Journal update with editor Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. International Paper, a Wichita recycling center, is shutting down operations and laying off employees by the end of the month. International Paper is located near 29th Street South and West Street. The number of affected employees in Wichita is unclear, but the company's headquarters in Memphis said a total of 134 employees will lose jobs around the country. International Paper employs 65,000 people worldwide. The developer behind the District 96 mixed-use development project in northeast Wichita is looking at its next phase. Great Plains Ventures' Mark Peer tells the Business Journal's Audrey Jensen, 7 lots totaling 15 acres of prime land along K96 are available in the 100-acre master-planned area. Peer says there's a vision of another multifamily complex, a hotel, medical office, and retail. Landmark Commercial Real Estate's Brett Harris is marketing the parcels. The development is already home to Tap and Paddle's Pickleball and Restaurant, Chisholm Lakes Apartments, a Quick Trip, another Broken Egg restaurant, and an indoor golf simulation facility called Shot Suite. And it's becoming more difficult for renters to find an apartment locally, according to a report from a national apartment search website. Wichita ranks 26th nationally and 6th in the Midwest for difficulty in finding apartments, with no new units being recently delivered in the city. Each vacant unit has about 10 applicants, with apartments staying vacant 45 days. Wichita Apartments had a 94% occupancy rate and a 69% renewal rate. The most competitive small market for apartments is Fayetteville, Arkansas. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
All right, Kirk, stay with us a minute here. We've got a huge controversy going on. I apparently have no idea what my wife does when she's out singing with the chorus. just tell us about it, Ted, the song we were talking about.
Well, we were talking about the Carl Orff and the Carmina Burana,
yeah,
which she did perform with Wichita Symphony in 2019.
Okay.
And then you said, no, it was just a couple months ago. Yeah. That was Beethoven's Ninth she did a couple of months ago.
Oh, they sound exactly alike to me. What are you laughing about? Huh? You're married, aren't you?
You got an ear for... Yes, yes.
One of the things about being married is the husband is made a fool of every now and then. Thank you, Ted, for pointing that out.
My source was your Facebook page.
So? Wow. Okay. At any rate, that's nice.
There we go.
Today is National Pina Colada Day. I think I'll go have one now.
Yeah. Do you like walks in the rain?
There is a certain controversy about the pina colada. It was created in Puerto Rico in 1954 when a man named Ramon Monchito Marrero first prepared it at the Caribe Hilton's Beachcomber Bar in San Juan in 1954.
It hasn't been around all that long.
Oh, yeah. A pina colada. Yep. I better have a couple of those today after the mistakes I've been making about my wife's ability to sing. Yeah, I'll be in the doghouse now. All right, thank you, guys. Coming up here.
She's not listening.
No, she isn't. She's doing something else. Coming up, we've got the Glenn Beck program all the way here with Stephen in the morning here on KNSS. At our top of the hour news, we'll be talking about the operations and the searching going on at the flood site down there in Texas. If you missed any of today's show, just want to listen again, go to the free Odyssey app. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, the Dana Lash Show. News updates all day. Stephen's Head of the Morning, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita. For over